Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, that they is Jesus and his disciples. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples. And a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Somebody say he was looking for the wrong thing. He was talking about what he wanted instead of really looking for what he needed. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Somebody say he got loud. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. So when he got loud, they got loud and said, you need to be quiet. But he cried even the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Somebody say, I'm tuning out the noise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Our five takeaways from this series over the next 3 weeks, including tonight, to focus our hearing. A lot of times we hear that word focus and we try to tie it to vision, focusing vision, having things come into focus, but you can also focus your hearing. So focusing our hearing. Number two, discovering the difference between hearing and listening. Anybody that's ever raised kids knows that there's a difference between hearing and listening. Mom, they hear everything you say. They just don't listen to everything you say. Number three, the power of the mute button. Don't you wish you just had a remote control at your job that you could just point it at people and just... Don't you wish when you went home and your spouse would... No, we're not even going to go there tonight. We're not even going to go there. Number four, the power of selective hearing. Hearing what you want to hear. Hearing versus hearing what you need to hear. And finally, what to do when you can't control the volume. Last session we talked that the enemy will use volume and the noise around you or in you to drown out the voice of God from being heard. Can I just encourage you, church, in the room and online tonight, it's not a matter of if God is speaking, it's do you hear him? He is always speaking. Because we have the written word of God, 66 books of God's word that is always speaking to us. And what I love about God's word is even though I've been walking with him for 22 years, and even though I've been reading his word and I've heard his word preached for 40 years, I can sit down and read a verse that I've read 100 times and I read it and suddenly God speaks something brand new to me. So even if you've read every letter and phrase and sentence in the word of God, keep reading it, because that thing's going to keep unwrapping just like an onion and there's more to it. And then if you ever get to the place where the written word does what it's supposed to do, it will stir up the Spirit of God and the Spirit will begin to speak. The Spirit will begin to give you direction and instruction on not just holy living, but day-to-day living. On what to do, who to do it with, how long you should stay, all of those things in the voice of God discerning. And so the enemy loves to drown out that voice. We left off last session in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 13, but we'll read 11, 12, and 13 again. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain. This is God talking to Elijah. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Somebody say, he's not in the tornado. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. Somebody say, he was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. That's why you need the Holy Spirit discernment, because us Pentecostals think wherever the fire is, God is. Sometimes where the fire is, God is not in it. Sometimes the fire is used as a distraction. And just like the fire of God, which we sang one of my favorite songs, that God's fire is a refiner, that God burns out of the things of us that are not of him, the enemy also loves to use fire to burn out the things that are not of the enemy. So he showed up in a tornado, God was not in it. Showed up in an earthquake, God was not in it. Showed up in the fire, and God was not in it. And after the fire, three words changed everything. A still, small voice. God was still speaking. He was speaking during the tornado. It was just too loud. He was speaking during the earthquake, but the earthquake was too loud. It drowned out the voice of God. And he was speaking during the fire, but the fire and the chaos that fire brings had drowned out the voice. But after the fire was put out, after the fire had waned, guess what was still speaking? The voice of God. Church, I don't know what you're going through tonight, and I don't know how loud your life is tonight, but I want to encourage you and give you hope that God is still speaking. There is a still, small voice. There is a voice that is telling you how he feels about you. There is a voice that's telling you, come home. There's a voice that's giving you direction and instruction for your Thursday and your Friday that will change that situation. Our goal tonight is to turn down the volume on the world and to turn up the volume on God and say, God, if you're speaking, I need to position myself in such a way that I hear your voice. Verse 13, and when it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him. This is God's voice now speaking, and he says, what doest thou here, Elijah? He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? One of the phrases we've heard in church a lot here in the last 2 or 3 years in the universal church is, we must lean into Jesus. Don't let that phrase become numb to you, because every day we're going to have to lean into Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is still speaking the same way he's always spoke. But as the world has got louder, God has not raised his voice. He's still speaking, but now we've got to lean in. How many of you know, and Pastor Mandy did such a good job at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I was so challenged by that word, but don't you know that when God is speaking and we've got to continually lean into him, that there's going to always be things that try to rob us from that, but leaning into Jesus, knowing that he's speaking to us, changes what we hear. What did God say with a still small voice? He asked him one question, what are you doing here? If God has never challenged your positioning and what you're doing, I doubt you're trying to do big things for God. He was not talking to a nobody. He was talking to one of the greatest men that had ever walked the face of the earth. Elijah had a temper problem. Elijah was easily irritated and annoyed. It sounds like a lot of people I know, including myself, but God used him to do great things. He is not talking to a nobody. He is talking to a somebody, but God challenges him here. And he said, the reason you feel like you feel, Elijah, is you've been listening to them more than you've been listening to me. You are not tuning out them and not tuning into what I'm saying. He said, what are you doing here? Meaning, if you could hear me, you would not be where you are. A lot of us are asking God to rescue us from places we never should have been. And we would never be at the places we are if we could still hear the still small voice of God. I want to encourage you today, more than your favorite worship song playing on your way to work, more than just a calendar of a verse that you rip off every day, 365 days of them, more than those things, which I have those things, I love those things. More than that, on the 15-minute drive to work, turn everything off and say, God, for the next 15 minutes, I'm leaning in. I want to hear what you have to say, because Lord, I'm not just asking for big things. I'm asking that your will would be done in my life, on my job, in my family. And I know if you've called me, I'm a big part of that. There's a still small voice speaking. God asks, what are you doing here? When God asks that question, he's not looking for information. It means that he's not doing something right. It means that Elijah is out of position. It means that he is hiding instead of out there doing what God has called him to do. Listen, can I encourage you? God never tells you to hide somewhere else. The only place that I hide is in him. And when I hide in him, it's not really hiding in him. It is planting myself in him. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe, and are saved. Can I encourage you? Don't go to the world. Don't hide in your house. Don't hide in the break room. Don't hide in the corners of your life. But say, God, if I need to catch my breath, I know where I can do that, in your presence. Because while I'm catching my breath, you're speaking. While you're speaking, I'm catching my breath, I'm listening. I'm finding out what to do next. What did Elijah receive by hearing the still small voice? We go to verse 14 now. And this is what Elijah said. This is how Elijah is talking to God. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God called Elijah to do great things. Elijah had done great things. But you know where Elijah messed up? He thought he was the only one. Have you ever felt like you were the only one trying to live for God? Come on now, don't amen me now, too hard. Come on, sometimes it seems like you're the only one in your family that's really trying to live for God. Like you're the only one maybe on your entire row right now. Just look to the left, now look to the right. You're the only one. You were praising with them on Sunday, but they ain't here on Wednesday. You went to a conference with them last February, but now they've ghosted you the last 3 months and you can't get a hold of them. That's where Elijah is. Elijah said, I'm mad, God, because I'm the only one out here trying to live for you. You know why he felt that way? Because he could not hear God anymore. Anytime you don't hear the voice of God, you are going to feel isolated, by yourself, lonely, and that you don't have who you need and what you need to get the job done. And so Elijah is hiding because he thinks he's the only one left, and I've got to save myself because I'm the only one that can save and turn this situation around. The Lord God said unto him, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come unto Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphath of Abel-Meholah. Wow, I just spoke in tongues. You didn't know they did that in the Old Testament. Shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. I love how God doesn't respond to his complaint. Have you ever complained and God said, all right, this is what I need you to do next? If you're looking for a pity party, God's not coming. Let me say it again. If you're looking for a pity party, God's not coming. And I love this because it frees me from attending. If God's not there, I'm not showing up. Because I go only where, not as a pastor, as a believer, the only place I go is where God shows up. And so if you're throwing a pity party and you expect God to show up and God says, hey, I'm not showing up to the pity party. I'm not coming. The pastoral team's not coming. Your praise partner's not coming. Your prayer partner's not coming. Because I will praise you up. I will worship you up. I will pray you up. But I will not take part in your pity party. He said, I'm the only one. This is what God said, this is what I need you to do. I'm the only one trying to live for you. This is where I need you to go. I'm the only one that's carrying an anointing like this. And God says, all right, this is who I need you to find. Sends them the three people. He's complaining about his situation, and God sends him to three people. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. God said, you think you're the only one? I've got 7,000 just like you who have not bowed to the world, who have not gone out, who have not wussed out, who have not backslid, who have not gone the other way, who have not grown quiet. They haven't kissed him. They haven't bowed to him. They haven't confessed him. I've got 7,000 just like you. Can I encourage those of you online and in the room today? You are not alone. One of the greatest reasons I love to come to church, whether it's a Sunday, a Wednesday, a Saturday, a men's night, a youth night, is we get people together and I'm reminded I'm not alone. Manuel's here worshiping. Michael's still living for God. Joseph's still serving. Estevan's still serving. It reminds me, hey, I'm not the only one, and should something happen to me, this thing will keep going and keep rolling. Why? Because God has never held hostage by one, but God has come to remind you, Living Way. God has come to remind you, believer, you are not by yourself. I've got 7,000. Living Way is not the only full gospel, spirit-filled church in America. There's more just like us. You say, well, I don't see them all the time. I don't know where they're at. Neither did Elijah. But just because you can't identify where they are does not mean they do not exist. There is still worshipers. There is still intercessors. There is still prophets. There is still pastors. There is still believers. There is still New Testament Acts believers that believe God can and God will, that God still heals, that God still delivers, that God still sets free, that God still tears asunder and puts together. You are not alone. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you are not alone. First thing, the still small voice that you need to tune into what God is saying tonight, church, is that God will give you encouragement like that. Said, God, I'm the only one. He said, here's what you need to do. And then after he gives them the command, he says, and let me just enlighten you on some things I'm doing. You're just one person out of 7,000. You say, is that the only believers? No, we're talking about leaders. We're talking about prophets. He said, I've got 7,000 prophets. I've got 7,000 leaders. I've got 7,000 pastors. I've got 7,000 worship leaders. Come on. I've got 7,000 people that know how to intercede and break heaven open over this earth. Do not think you're by yourself. I've got 7,000. And those 7,000 each represent 10, 15, 20, 100,000 followers of Jehovah. You are not alone. So the first thing you find in the still small voice is encouragement. The second thing you find in the still small voice is direction. Because he told Elijah exactly where he could find Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. What was released? He offered three things, encouragement. Or he offered two things, encouragement and direction in that still small voice. But what was released by hearing the still small voice? You know what I love? Shameless plug. From Mario. You know what I love about when Mario receives the offering? I already have my offering ready to give. If he didn't give us his pep talk and word and preach a 3 or 4 minute sermonette on why we were giving, if he didn't do that, I'm still giving. But what I love about him is when he does it, it pumps me up. It gets me more excited about what I'm giving because now I've got word to back it up, word to stand on, and an expectation of what it does when it leaves my hand for church community, faith community, my life, this church, and beyond. But you know what I love about the word of God, whoever's preaching it? When the word of God is preached, it releases something. You know what I'm excited about? These new Walmart drones that are going to be delivering Bluebell ice cream to my house every other day. They're running test markets. They're literally leaving, and in 30 minutes, they're dropping sodas, and they're dropping. Isn't it going to be awesome? It's like Christmas morning. Now you're in your backyard, and you're getting to catch Bluebell as it comes literally from the sky. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to live in 2022. But just like the drones, when the word of God is preached, God starts dropping things. When the word of God is preached, God says, here's some peace. God says, here's some joy. God says, all you're weak, here's some strength. God says, oh, you need a fresh dose of anointing. You're doing bigger and better things. I'm going to give you that double portion. That's why a lot of times when we're worshiping and we sing a certain line, or when I hear good preaching and the word of God is delivered and I start reaching up, I literally, you can see me, I'm grabbing it, pulling it down. Why? Because the word of God has been released. And not only does it hit my heart, but it changes the atmosphere. And so I'm looking up and I'm grabbing those things that God's word is releasing. These are the three things that released. He said, I need you to go and I need you to find Hazael and Jehu and anoint them to be kings. That means that there's an authority that is released in the still small voice. You know what Mandy proved on Sunday? And it kills me because I leaned over to Mario and I told him during her altar call, I will sweat, scream, spit, and if I could, I'd turn cartwheels to get people to come to an altar to find Jesus. I'm all over the stage, and the TV ministry is like, you got to slow down, and you got to stay in one place. I'm like, you're the only person that's ever told me to slow down. That's my mode, is slow. But Mandy preaches and teaches from right here. She might step here, and she might step here, never raises her voice. And then at the end of her message on Sunday, she says, now if God has encouraged you with anything I've said, we would love for you. And before she could even open the altars, boom, 100 people are in the altars. And I'm like, she hadn't broken a sweat, hadn't raised her. Why? Because the word doesn't have to. Listen, I like the personality that I preach, that Bishop Jakes, that, but it doesn't need all of that. The word is the word. When God preaches to me, he doesn't sound like Bishop Jakes. It's a conversation. It's a still small voice. And that's why sometimes I got to lean in and he's whispering things. But guess what he's whispering? He's dropping authority. And authority doesn't have to be loud. Authority doesn't have to be strenuous and in your face. Authority is merely in the word that God is releasing. So I want to encourage you, lean into what God is saying on your Thursday morning. Why? Because God is releasing authority that you are going to be able to take and walk in every day of your life, walking into your school, into your job with authority. The second thing it releases, he said, hey, after you find Hazael and Jehu, I need you to go find a young man named Elisha. We know Elisha goes on to do many miracles, twice as many. The second thing that the word of God releases is the prophetic. The prophetic in 2022 has been turned into a cheap parlor trick. And I've been into services where the man or woman of God will tell you your phone number, will tell you your social security number, will tell you how old you are and what street you live on. I don't even care if they did come up with that with God's help. I don't need to know my social security number. I know it. I don't need to know my phone number. I know it. If you're going to give me numbers, very easy, give me the lottery numbers, not my social. I know what street I live on. So prophetic is not meant to impress you. Prophetic is used to transform you, not to impress you. This is what I see God doing. This is where I see God going. This is what you need to do to prepare yourself for what God. The prophetic is something that gets us ready for what God is about to do, or allows us to see what God sees is happening, or what God has promised for us to be a part. And so it releases the prophetic, and it's not a scream, it's a still small voice. And then I love it because he says, when you find Elisha, that's the one that's gonna follow you. And when he throws that mantle on Elisha while he is using the oxen to plow, a double portion is given to Elisha. When the word of God is released, a double portion is released. A double portion on whatever the word touches. That's why I believe that this generation that's coming up behind me and us is going to see so many great things. Why? Because we are anointed, but they're going to carry a different anointing. And I believe that the anointing that this next generation carries is not a Sunday church house anointing. It's a street anointing. It's a crack house anointing. It's a hospital anointing. It's a political anointing. It is shaping not kingdoms. It is shaping nations. It is shaping cities. It is shaping. I'm talking about anointing that works on Monday to Saturday and not just on Sunday. And so when I talk about anointing, I want the anointing to fall, but I want them to step into a double portion. And that does not happen by better worship songs and better preaching. It only happens when a generation knows it's time for me to lock myself in a room with God and hear his voice, because his voice will change my life. And when it changes my life, I can change the world. Our number one objective to tune out the noise is we must focus our hearing. We always think that focus pertains to vision, but focus means to concentrate one's attention. But I love the second definition, and this is Webster's definition. This is defined by secular minds, but it is a sustained concentration. That went over some of your heads, so we're going to end here tonight talking about this for 2 minutes. A sustained concentration. That means a concentration on the Word of God that does not end at 8:25 on a Wednesday night. Well, I knew it'd get quiet. I didn't know it was going to get that quiet. That means Thursday morning, I'm still listening. I'm still worshiping. That means Friday morning, when I get the best news of my life, I'm still worshiping. I'm still seeking God. I'm still serving God. But when all hell breaks loose on Saturday morning, I'm still worshiping. I'm still seeking God. Why? Because I have a sustained concentration. Nothing is going to break my stride. Nothing is going to break my focus. Whatever they do in Washington, that's what they do in Washington. But my ear is still to the throne room. It's still to God's voice. It's still listening to what the Spirit is saying. I know my family's acting up and things are going on in my family, but I have sustained concentration. I'm not going to let Thursday's family issue rob me of what God is talking to me about, what God is planning for me, what God is using me to do. Sustained concentration. Sustained concentration. I wasn't going to get into this tonight, but it'd be a great thing to end with tonight. You know how I know that what you hear affects what you see? Because before Google Maps and before IMAPs, when we knew the address, Rexy, when we knew where we were going, but we didn't know exactly how to get there and what the house looked like, we'd be driving down the street and we'd be looking at house numbers and the radio would be blaring. You know where I'm going with this? We turned down the radio so that we can see better. We turn down what we hear because it somehow affects what we see. Well, if the adverse is true, you're gonna have to turn down the volume of the world so that you can see better. But you're gonna have to turn up the volume of God so you don't see like the world sees.